Greetings and welcome all you commanders, eagles, and angels. This is Rainbird, and I'm pleased to welcome you to the hard news on Friday nights on BBS Radio Station 1. We're grateful that you're joining us. And we'd like to take a few minutes to set the tone for the evening. So let's take a few gentle breaths. Breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth. Slowly, gently, intentionally, and go into your heart space. Gather with your guides, guardians, spirit teams, healing teams, totems, whoever you like to journey with that kimi drum with. And there's a council fire. It's in the center. It's a virtual council fire. So let's gather around that council fire in that virtual way we know how to do. And make a circle around that fire and come in close. Let's call in those seven galactic directions in the Mayan tradition with the kimi drum. Welcome from the east, the house of light. May wisdom open in the dawn that is upon us, so that we may see things clearly. We welcome from the north, the house of night. May wisdom mature among us, so that we may see everything from within. Welcome from the west, the house of transformation. May wisdom be transformed into bright action, so that we might accomplish what must be done. And we welcome from the south, the house of eternal sun. May right action give us the harvest, so that we might enjoy the fruits of the planetary being. Greet from above, the house of paradise. With star people and the ancestors gather, may their blessings reach us now. And we greet from below, the house of the earth. May the beating of the crystal planet's heart bless us with its harmonies, so that we might end war. Welcome from the central source of the galaxy, which is everywhere at once. May everything be recognized as the light of mutual love. I am Hunaku, Iwa Maya, Ima Ho. I am Hunaku, Iwa Maya, Ima Ho. I am Hunaku, Iwa Maya, Ima Ho. All hail the harmony of mind and nature. And my guest, Alex. Aho Mutakwiasan. So just stay wherever that drum beat took you as we take a look at the Mayan record of days for today and for the week ahead. So, and today is a 5 east, the white overtone wind. And so that overtone, number 5, commanding, radiance, and power are its 3 key words. And it's tribe 2, east, the wind. And its 3 key words are communicate, breath, and spirit. And so, and a reminder, we are in the 7th unial of the 13 unials. This is the midpoint. And these 20 days, none of our galactic access portal days as we know it, but every one of them is a healing day as we work on ourselves to be better every day. These 20 days assist us with that in that seventh union, and they're very special. So let's look at this 5 East white overtone wind. Here's the mantra for today. I empower in order to communicate commanding breath. I seal the input of spirit with the overtone of radiance. I am guided by the power of heart. And this also, yes, guided by the power of heart. So that would be, I didn't even look. I forgot to write down the destiny days. But that's okay. I can even find it. I'll mention it later. We'll just skip that part and move on to Saturday. Well, let's look at East a little bit better. This is a visionary aspect, and it's about the co-creation of heaven on earth. It's about truth in all matters and remembering our unity with spirit. So we embrace these gifts of having that voice of spirit and spirit working through us as we let go of any judgment of others or any secretiveness. We embrace these energies today. And then tomorrow on Saturday, it's a 6 Akbal. Akbal is tonight, and it's an artist aspect. So it's about our participation and belief in abundance. It's about learning from the dream time. So we have these gifts of that protection of the night and being that mystery of life. So let's let go of any self-judgment or any withdrawal issues as we embrace these energies on Saturday. And then on Sunday, it's a 7 Con, which is the yellow resonant seed. We are in the wave of Con, so it's a double seed day. We need that for April. So this is the healing aspect. And it's about our openness to life and self-determination. It's about harmony seeking and timing. So we embrace these gifts of possibility and that potential of creation, the seed energy. So let's let go of any stagnation and any lack of self-confidence or limited hesitation or any lack of trust as we embrace these energies on Sunday. And then on Monday, it's an 8 Chichron, the red galactic serpent. This is a warrior aspect, and it's about remaining open to change and distinguishing between the body and the soul. So, and it's about transmuting energy. So we have these gifts of being that, having that motivation to change, instinct and body sensing, and the ability to shed that old skin on a regular basis. So let's let go of any insecurity, any fears around intimacy or any issues about the body or any blockages by the ego as we embrace these energies on Monday with that 8 tone. That's the galactic tone. So it's, got that galactic energy to it for sure. So let's go to Tuesday. It's a 9 Kimi, the white solar world bridger. Kimi's also a warrior aspect, and it's about our forgiveness and moving into a state of grace. And I don't mean our forgiveness. I mean it's about forgiving. But we can forgive ourselves as well. So let's embrace these gifts of being that world bridger and bridging between the past and future. And that gift of transmutation. So we know how to do this. We know how to change. So let's let go of that which is no more and surrender the ego and the controlling behavior and the belief that life is a struggle as we embrace these energies on Tuesday. And that's at that 9 tone, that solar tone. So that's activating 3 3s. It's very, very busy. And very electric. So then moving on to Wednesday is the 10 Monique, the blue planetary hand. And
it was by
this is
those
the healing aspect. Monique. So it's about healing ourselves and others and moving and creating contentment and peace. And it's about that acceptance of the destiny of our divinity, excuse me, the divinity of ourselves. So we have these gifts of that healer of humankind and being that healer of humankind and that ability to open new doors, which is great. So let's let go of any distraction, any belief in adequacy or any procrastination. We work with these energies on Thursday or Wednesday rather, and at 10, it's the 10 tone. So it's manifestation, all about manifesting what we've been working on. So then on Thursday, it's an 11 Lamont, the yellow spectral star. And this is a visionary aspect. It's about illumination of humankind, and it's about opening that stargate. So let's embrace these gifts of journeying, that pioneer spirit, and having the power to see beyond as we let go of any dissonance or self-doubt and embrace these energies. On Thursday, with that 11 tone, it's definitely about letting go. So lots of support for letting go of what is no more and embracing the new. And then on Friday, when we come back, it's the 17th of the month, and it's a new moon. It's at 7:52 a.m. Eastern time. So it's a 12 Muluk. It's the moon day. That's very appropriate for a new moon. And it's the red crystal moon. So let's welcome in this red crystal moon at 7:52 Eastern. And with that crystal tone going on, that's about a very powerful tone. 3-4s and 4-3s, this complex stability going on. So very powerful moon energy. The moon energy aspect is an artist aspect, and it's about that wise use of rational mind. It's about accepting spirit's direction. So I think there'll be plenty of that. So let's keep our contact with spirit and remember what we came here to do as universal beings with universal mind. Having the mind of telepathy and using it. And so let's let go of any insensitivity, any attachment to omens, any self-doubt as we embrace these energies on Friday. And we'll talk about some more next Friday when we come back. So I'm going to change my hat and talk about the housekeeping. And I'd like to officially let you know about the Thursday night show. It's Panthers Unite. And it's on BBS Radio. Radio Station 1. And it begins at 10 o'clock Eastern and goes to 12 o'clock Eastern. So figure that out for your time zone where you are. So it is a new time. It's a new show. And we welcome you all to join us there. And then furthermore, for the BBS radio update, we need for Friday and Saturday programs $184 to cover those expenses. And so this is easy to do. Just go into your heart space and see what is yours to give. As you can contribute, please do. And you want to go to bbsradio.com. Click on Radio Station 1 for this program, The Hard News on Fridays. And as you find that in the schedule, and it's on the top of the page on the website, Radio Station 1, you will see the icon and click on that icon for the show. And that takes you directly to our account. We have another show on Saturdays. It's at the 3:30 hour on Radio Station 2. So you can click on that and look up the true history. And so it's The True History of Nisarin, Our Galactic Origins, is the name of that program. And you'll find that listed at the 3:30 hour. These are Central Times. And as you find that listing, you can click on that icon and use your bank card to make a donation in any amount, as that takes it to our account with BBS Radio. So thank you for taking that action. We're so grateful for your participation this way. And we're also assisting Tara and Rama with their needs. And they have living expenses of $200 each week that they require. And also they have bills due this week. The Dish Network bill is $182. The Geico bill is $129. That's car insurance. And the Vonage bill is $49.49. So that adds up to $362 plus the $200. It's $562. Here's how you make a donation to Tara and Rama. You want to go to paypal.com. And the send address you want to use is Koran, K-O-R-A-N, 9999 at hotmail.com, and I'll give it to you again. Send your donation to this address, Corinne999949@hotmail.com. And when you see 2013 Rainbow Roundtable come up, you know, and Rama's name, you know you're in the right place. So it'll go there. So, it might ask what it's for, and you just say it's a gift or a donation, and that way there are no extra charges applied that don't apply. And thank you for taking that action. We're so grateful. So, yeah, I like the 2013 that's in there because it is the fractal of the Hunab coup. The Hunab coup is 1320. And it's just the mirror image of it as seen from space. So you see that there. Yeah, 2013 Rainbow Roundtable. So our web address is rainbowroundtable.net. And you can go there to see, find out more information about Nisara and lots of good information about Nisara. So, and the people that Rama talks to. And then at the end of that page on the website, you'll see a GoFundMe there. And that's for sending donations to assist Tara with her healing process. So much gratitude for your contributions. We are so grateful for all the ways you show up in your lives. And thank you for showing up this way. If you wish to make a donation by mail, the mailing address is Ram D. Berkowitz, R-A-M D. Berkowitz, B-E-R-K-O-W-I-T-Z, Post Office Box 280-280, and that's in Santa Cruz, New Mexico. The zip code is 87567. So there you have it. All the information, I think. I'm pretty sure it is. So 13 thank yous, honey, in the heart. And I'm going to pass this talking stick and let me take a look. Well, it's got a lot of energy calling in all the, it's got all the rays, flames, universal laws, and ascension waves. And so it's pretty serious into what needs to be done and what we need to do to gather ourselves together and do the changes we need to do. It's a changing stick. It's a talking stick. So welcome, Rama. Greetings. Here comes this talking stick.
Greetings, everyone. You know, the mouse is kind of chasing itself. It's the electrons. And thank you for that talking stick. Thank you, everyone. It is such an amazing time to be alive right now with all the changes that are going on in this realm and the nine other realms, as well as the other realms that connect with the nine realms. It's such an auspicious moment to be here, to experience the light that never fails, that's pouring in. I lose the words in translation. Today, I went to Sun Mountain and sat with three deer, nine crows, and two snow white hawks. We sat in silence for 10 minutes. Then we got up and walked in a circle, and we did the Adi Shakti mantra for world peace for about 10 minutes. Then everybody went on their way to do their day. Then I received a text message from Mr. X, Tom, Larry Curly and Moe, and Sweet Angelique, the crew. They were in their shuttlecraft, very high in the atmosphere near Beirut, Lebanon. What's going on over there? Is that on? I have no words. I could call it unconscionable, and that's an understatement, because it has everything to do with Mr. Yahoo over there and the Zionist agenda, which is not world peace at all. It's a very big deal with what's happening. And the Artemis astronauts are in the water with the Navy and the other rescue teams, and they're going to have amazing stories to tell about what they saw circling the moon and coming back. And I'm sure a few craft buzzed them on their journey, and we'll hear about it sooner than later, hopefully. And Dr. Greer may have an update tomorrow talking about this stuff. I don't know. Yet it is such an amazing moment to be here right at this time. I have no words. I am very much grateful to be here, to be alive in this body, in this temple of radiance, to do this mission. And we are sending the highest love to the beloved Green Tara with what she's going through, with all the changes of the energies happening right now. It's big, because the energies are shifting our present reality, and it comes into physical form as these energies affect the physical body. And as you're having issues with various organs and energies, it can be quite uncomfortable. That's an understatement as well. I don't even know where to go with that, except to send more love. And I'm gonna start with this, what I was gonna do yesterday. This is Lord Kryon sitting in front of the Sphinx, Cairo, talking about make no assumptions about anything. And I'm learning that exponentially fast about making no assumptions and staying in the violet flame with the office of the Christ. Here we go. This is big.
Greetings, dear ones. I'm Kryon of Magnetic Service. Oh, here we are at the Sphinx. Indeed. Some of you are feeling the energy. I'll discuss that in a moment. but I'd like to continue some of the lessons that I've been giving about moving into the new energy. Some of the things about moving into the new energy have nothing to do with what you think, and some do. It may surprise you what we're saying. We told you you cannot take old energy into that which is new energy and then expect it to work. That should be obvious. We told you about expectations when we started. And now we are going to speak of another one. It sounds similar, but it's called assumptions. Make no assumptions. And yet you do. All of you do, because you can't help it. This is where you come from. You assume things because they're always the same way. And then you go into new energy and you carry the assumptions of the old, and it won't work.
No.
And what I mean it won't work, I mean the things that we spoke of, the second, the laws of attraction, the consciousness effort to pave your path with good intentions, they're not going to work either, as long as you carry assumptions. Let's talk about some assumptions before we even get to the Sphinx here.
Drop it all.
Here's one. You come to this land of Egypt, you're new, you come from perhaps a big city in the West, and you see that everyone is honking at everyone. And you think, they're all mad at each other. Look at this. I don't want to be on this road. They're all crazed, and there's road rage everywhere. I can tell because they're all honking at each other. Honk, honk. That's an assumption, is it not? And then until you move into the culture, the society, and you realize that although it may look like organized chaos, you hear the differences in the beeps. Short ones mean I'm here. Another short one around you means thank you, I see you. And it's constant because there are often no lines on the road. And so they're always telling each other where they are. Here I am. Here I am. Short beeps. Short beeps. Beware the long ones. Then they're mad. Did you know that? That's an assumption. You see two of the citizens of Cairo, and you see them in discussion on the street, and you're afraid. They're yelling at each other. They are. They're angry, obviously. One is getting right up to the next one, right in his face, and yelling things, gesturing. You're about to call the police. When they hug each other, and they all laugh. That's because they've been negotiating. This is the culture. They play out the negotiations. Some of them play a role. Some of them are acting out a part. And they're having fun. But you almost called the police. Do you see where the assumptions from one culture to another may get you then in trouble? Think about the assumptions of one energy to another. An old energy of the planet that's been here for eons and eons, and you just assumed this and that and that. You cannot then carry that into an ascended energy, or even the beginning of one. Make no assumptions. Let me give you a more profound one. There's a very ancient, you might say, dig. It's an archaeological dig in Bolivia called Tiwanaku. It's one of the highest archaeological digs in the world, over 12,000 feet. My partner was there, and they had recently made some discoveries when they dug into the dirt. And the archaeologists were there from another culture, because the Bolivians do not yet have the finesse, perhaps, and the education that they do from other cultures. Beware, you now have another culture investigating the one that they don't belong to. And they dug down and they found very, very interesting objects. And the objects were like within the same area of each other, meters from each other. There was one that seemed to be from Asia. Now that's interesting. What does that mean? There was another one that seemed to be from Egypt. What does that mean? So the assumptions carried out may very well change their history books. And here's the assumption: that there was some kind of marketplace there where they were selling things and their wares, and indeed there was evidence then, therefore, of trade with Japan, China, Egypt, and all of those places, because those objects were found there. Let me tell you what they missed. I spoke to my partner in channel on the dirt where this took place. And he remembers it. They did not give the Bolivian ancients any credit for finesse, any credit for elegance, any credit for intelligence. What they had dug into was a museum. They had a museum because they had a culture that honestly understood and respected the ancients from afar. And they had had some come through from distant lands and show them this and that, and they had found this and that. It didn't belong to the land. It wasn't in a marketplace. It was displayed as a museum. What was the assumption? That the ancients weren't very bright, or that the ancients had no elegance at all. Because in modern times you have it all, and in ancient times they're just a little dumb. Make no assumptions. You sit at the feet, literally, of perhaps the oldest sculpture on the planet. How old is the Sphinx? There is no true answer. They don't know. But when you start looking at it, there are some things that are odd. And I wanted to tell you about it so that you understand what is here and what is not. In Egypt, there are thousands of sphinxes, small ones, medium-sized ones. So you can easily see the template of a sphinx. If you look at some of the first pictures of the Sphinx being uncovered from the sand hundreds of years ago, you're going to see something very odd. The head is a different color, body, indicating perhaps the head was changed. I'm here to tell you it was. And it wasn't by the original sculptors. It was by those, for instance, the pharaohs, or those in charge, or the noble people, who uncovered it first and wanted their head on it. And they put it on it. It may not even have the head now that you see and have seen for years and say, this is wonderful, isn't it? Not even the right head. It's a little large. It used to be a different color. And then the stories begin that you've heard, perhaps, in the esoterics. There's a secret door on the side.
Yeah.
There is a door on the side. It's been covered up. It's not a secret. It's been opened many times in order to reinforce the inside of the Sphinx, which actually collapsed at one time. There's another story that there's a secret door on the top of the head. There is a door there. It's not secret. It's to reinforce and rebuild the head so it didn't collapse and fall off. There is so much work that has been done on this object, this very, very old, seemingly mysterious object, that very little of the original is showing at all. If there are any secrets that are esoteric, like things buried beneath or over or around, they're esoteric. That is, they would be multidimensional, because all of that has been surveyed, technically. There's nothing hiding in 3D here. So why is it that there's so much energy here? Why is it that it's so attractive to so many who want to be here and touch it and see it and be photographed with it? I will tell you this, and it is something you never thought of. Make no assumptions here of why you think it's mysterious. It is not a spaceship. It represents the beginning of a new enlightened society. This is the oldest relic they have, representing the very beginning of those who believed in the afterlife and those who believed in Ra, a god that you believe in, that the creator is listed as. That is the creator you see today, that you understand today. This represents the beginning of all of that. That is why you are here looking at something that is truly amazing. It was the beginning. It's ageless. There is no one who knows how old it is. There was water here. No one knows that. Oh, there's some evidence. The Nile was closer. All manner of things were different if you were here back then. But as far as being mysterious, I will tell you, the only mysterious thing is why you think it's mysterious. It is powerful. It is amazing. It is remarkable. It is precious in what it represents. And if you are one who feels things, that's why you're here. To honor the beginning of a civilization 5,200 years ago, right on time, in the scale of the cosmos, the precession of the equinoxes, and what was happening and expected. You are sitting at the same juncture. What are you going to build that someday someone will find? What if it isn't physical at all? What if it has to do with a compassionate government, the first one of its kind? What if it is more than that? What is inventions that will feed humanity, the first of their kind? That is all in the scope of the next years on this planet. And you are here to celebrate the first one you're looking at and to be here to be within the second one as it starts. This is what I wanted to tell you. And so it is.
I can just say, make no assumptions about anything. Blaze the violet fire and work with the energies of the office of the Christ. That's how we get through these energies with the electromagnetic frequencies that are so high at this time. It's shifting everyone's consciousness exponentially fast, and it can be disruptive, chaotic, but it's got a cosmic order to it. And this is coming from that realm, which I call the quantum field. It might seem like chaos to us, yet it's not. It's about how things have shifted so far since where we came from. And that's why it looks off the wall. And it's affecting people big time. It's amazing to see. And at the same time, we're being asked, or being told, to blaze the violet fire gently, kindly, lovingly. And this changes everything, because right now, the electromagnetic frequencies I'm seeing, others see them too, that surround the Earth, that surround the Sun, the Moon. It's interesting that we just had these last few days, the encounters with the Moon. It's a big deal because we used to have two moons, and that will come back. And that is another story that is so amazing that goes back to what occurred long ago with the interplanetary conflict, and it goes into the intergalactic conflict and the chunks of Maldek and the story of the fallen angels and blazed violet fire. It is an awesome time to be alive, and more is coming out about these folks who are getting an upgrade, whether they like it or not, whether they love it or not. It's just happening because it's the order of the day. And I could say Goddess has ordered it up for everyone. It is what time it is to shift things into balance. That is the magic that's unfolding. This time that we're in, it is so awesome to behold, because it is not about conflict or war or hate or death. It is about love. And that immense love changes people's realities, their timelines, their physical bodies. Miracles are afoot. This is what changes so many things. The moon is in the last quarter of Capricorn, and we're going to hear about that in a little bit as we hear about what is going on. And I'm gonna pass the talkie stick back to BBS Radio, and we're gonna go to the conference call. See you in the light of the most radiant one, Sat Nam. See you in about an hour.
Sun. We invoke the loving energies of Saint Germain and the Violet Flame. A tremendous of this town with all of what is awakening through the changing of these seasons, moving fully into the energies of Aries coming in, Mars also not about war. It is about the energies of the rose and the frequencies of that light coming in. Right now, this is a tremendous time to be alive in a body, working with the divine radiance of the office of the Christ. Oh, can you hear us now? Okay, thank you. The moments that are transpiring are about this radiant energy of the office of the Christ. That is so amazing to behold for everyone concerned in this moment. It is for the highest good of all concerned. This is the shifting of the ages with positivity and frequencies that bring in the presence of he, they who were here from the very beginning. We are in a most unique, auspicious time with what's unfolding, because this moment in what you call time, space, all that is about love. There are so many issues that are on the table at hand. There are so many that have, we could say, kind of went out into left field, never came back, and the energies in of themselves are bringing them back into the field to align with the office of the Christ. It's a good time to be alive, be in this temple of living radiance. It is a joy, ecstasy. Sometimes there is a bit of agony because the energies are getting adjusted. That is always the case. Change is a constant. It is never what it appears to be. It's always something new, something different. We are constantly shifting, changing in this radical now moment. This is the place, the time, the space of this new heaven, new earth. It's already been anchored on the planet. Everything that's going on is swiftly moving us into this radiant field of light that is so much welcomed right now. All the other stuff is about this ancient old timeline that doesn't hold any power. It is only a placeholder for the moment, and that is quickly dissipating with each passing nanosecond. It is a most lovely time to see how this comes into play as more and more come out about how, let's say, it goes back to these stories, ancient wisdom, that this place on the planet that is having a bit of adjustments, we could call it, trying to be polite. War is never the answer. Love is always the answer. As we can work with the emerald green ray, the violet ray, sapphire blue ray, this changes physical space, time, matter, to lift oneself higher in the octaves of the harmony of the spheres, this symphony that is being played out is the best composition that has been written, and it comes from the stars. We are made of stardust. We are golden, and we are getting back into the garden, as it has been said. This magical story, Black Moon Lilith is in the picture, along with a few other folks in the midst of it. And Aries is moving swiftly forward as we are approaching this new moon coming up again. New moon, full moon, sunrise, sunset. It is all shifting in the balance of the most radiant one. Everything that is taking place is about these old timelines that have no more power, yet love is the answer. That is the greatest power right now. Miracles can result with the frequencies of love at this present moment. All the angels, masters, teachers, wisdom keepers are here. This particular time we're in today, number 10, this is the time, the place, the space where it all changes for the greater good of all concerned, the highest good of all concerned. Like Lord Krya said, assume nothing. Expect the most auspicious magical frequencies pouring in to lift everyone higher. We are grateful to be here to step into this living temple of radiance to share this message of peace and wisdom. Love is the answer. All we are saying is give peace a chance. That is what changes the timelines in this now moment. And we are going to pass the talking stick to our friend here, Patty Kotorobos. This rapid evolutionary shift into Christ consciousness. This is big. Here we go. Greetings in the light of the most radiant one. Love you all so much. Thank you for being here. We are so grateful.
Hi, precious heart. The beings of light in the realms of illumined truth have now revealed that the success of humanity's unique mass awakening in 2025 co-created the sacred space that will allow a rapid evolutionary shift into Christ consciousness to occur within the masses of humanity during the time frame of 2026 through 2030. The beings of light said they originally believed it would take centuries for this type of quantum shift to be accomplished. Now, however, they confirm that this mass shift into Christ consciousness will be co-created through the unified efforts of humanity during the next 5 years. We have been preparing for lifetimes to be the stabilizing force of light during the unprecedented ascension process Mother Earth is now going through. In order to accomplish this monumental task, we are receiving more assistance from the Company of Heaven than has ever been rendered to the sons and daughters of God in any system of worlds. In 2026, the fifth-dimensional crystalline solar grid of comprehensive divine love, which lightworkers have been co-creating within the body of Mother Earth for the past several decades, will be accelerated to higher frequencies of light than we have ever experienced. The Company of Heaven has been granted permission to encode within this grid of divine love the highest frequencies of light to support humanity's ascent into Christ consciousness that humanity's I Am presences have ever received. The divine intent of this facet of our Father Mother God's plan is to greatly accelerate the evolutionary shift into Christ consciousness that is now taking place within the masses of humanity. This assistance will benefit everyone. In even more powerful ways, it will affect the incoming souls who have been uniquely prepared to reach into the realms of cause, where they will tap into the viable solutions for every single malady manifesting on Earth. The divine potential for this new facet of Mother Earth's ascension process is glorious to behold. However, the Company of Heaven said that for this plan to succeed God victoriously, it is essential that lightworkers embodied on Earth participate. We are being asked to serve as surrogates on behalf of every child of God on Earth. This activity of light we will participate in today was given to us by the Company of Heaven and has been building in momentum in the realms of cause. Together, we will help every person's I Am presence integrate higher frequencies of Christ consciousness into the divinity of their heart flame. This is being accomplished in the eternal moment of now. So no matter when you are participating in this activity of light, your magnificent essence is being woven in to this phase of the divine plan. In addition to every person receiving higher frequencies of Christ consciousness, during this guided meditation, a concentrated influx of light will help to awaken the dormant RNA and DNA genetic codes in our 12 fifth dimensional crystalline solar strands of DNA. Dear one, now, please go within to the divinity of your heart flame and focus on this activity of light. Christ consciousness is the enlightened state of awareness we were invested with by our Father, Mother, God when we were first breathed forth from the core of creation. After we fell into the abyss of separation and duality, we lost Christ consciousness and the ability to communicate with our I Am presence on a conscious level. Since that fateful time, we have been struggling to reverse the adverse effects of our fall from grace and to reclaim our divine birthright of Christ-conscious sons and daughters of God. Please join with me now as we participate in this activity of light, which is designed to move humanity in mass, a quantum leap forward in our endeavors to return to Christ consciousness. Breathe in deeply and go within to the divinity of your heart flame. Follow me through this guided meditation with the full power of your attention and your divine intentions. Be here now. And we begin. I am my I Am presence, and I am one with the I Am presence of all humanity. What I invoke for myself, I invoke on behalf of every person on Earth, in perfect alignment with each one's divine plan, and the highest good for all concerned. This is possible because we are one and there is no separation. On the holy breath, I now breathe in and out deeply and rhythmically through my heart chakra. With every in-breath, I align with the love of my Father, Mother, God, and the sacred breath of the Holy Spirit. With every out-breath, my godparents open my heart chakra to new breaths and project their divine love and power into the physical plane of Earth. Through this activity of light, the portal within my right brain hemisphere and my heart chakra, through which the love of my Mother God originally flowed to bless all life on Earth, is once again opening to full breath. As the full divine potential of my Mother God's pink flame of comprehensive divine love pulsates through my heart chakra, it is brought into perfect balance with my Father God's blue flame of divine will, which is also pulsating within the divinity of my heart. My newly balanced heart flame has a dual pulsation. The first pulsation is the in-breath, assimilating and absorbing the power and love of my Father, Mother, God. The second pulsation is the out-breath, expanding and radiating out the power and love of my Father, Mother, God. My heart flame is the inward portal for my return to Christ consciousness. It is also the open door that will allow me to once again communicate with my I Am presence and the company of heaven on a conscious level. It is through this open door that the blessings from my Father, Mother, God and the realms of illumined truth radiate outward into my daily life. On the holy breath, my return to Christ consciousness and my inner journey back to my Father, Mother, God are balanced with my outer service to humanity and all life. It is within this balance that I open my heart chakra once again to the perpetual flow of my Mother God's pure divine love. My Father God's blue flame of power and my Mother God's pink flame of divine love are now balanced within my heart flame. These two aspects of my Father, Mother, God are now merging into the magnificent violet flame of God's infinite perfection. This sacred fire blazes up from my heart chakra and expands into my physical brain structure, activating my spiritual brain centers, which consist of my pineal, pituitary, and hypothalamus glands, and the ganglionic center at the base of my brain. The activation of my spiritual brain centers create the sacred space for the opening of my crown chakra. As this occurs, a greatly intensified frequency of the yellow-gold flame of Christ consciousness begins flowing from the very heart of God into Mother Earth's fifth-dimensional crystalline solar grid of comprehensive divine love. These brand new frequencies of Christ consciousness now flow through my I Am Presence and my crown chakra into my pineal gland. With this influx of light, the highest frequencies of Christ consciousness that I am capable of integrating flow through my pineal gland into my mental and emotional bodies. As I return to Christ consciousness, my heart and mind are recalibrated to higher frequencies of divine love, oneness, and reverence for all life than I have experienced since humanity's fall from grace eons ago. The illusions of separation and duality are now shattered. I know that I am one with all of the expressions of the sons and daughters of God evolving on earth. At long last, I experience the bliss of knowing that love is all there is, and I am that love. And so it is, beloved, I am that I am. Dear one, as we observe the myriad experiences we will witness in 2026, please hold this sacred space, this powerful activity of light, and repeat it as often as you are inspired to do so. The beings of light have assured us that this is a multidimensional activity of light that is accomplishing far more than we are able to perceive with our finite minds.
Everyone, I'm going to be talking to you today about the second half of April and the new moon that we have coming up in Aries on the 17th. I'm
Here we go with this. The universe is settling scores tomorrow. Capricorn moon pays you back. Signs wins big. Here we go.
Okay, I'm going to be honest with you. I've been tracking the astrology for April and tomorrow is going to be huge. Like, I don't think most people realize what's actually coming. So here's what's happening. Tomorrow, April 10th, we have a last quarter moon in Capricorn, and I know that might not sound super dramatic on the surface, but stay with me here, because this isn't just another moon phase. This is what I'd call a cosmic settlement day. The universe is literally balancing its books right now, and tomorrow is when the payouts happen. And if you've been feeling like you've been working way too hard for way too long without seeing the results, there's a very specific reason the universe has been holding back, and I'm going to explain exactly why later in this video. But first, I need you to understand something. If you've been feeling this really strange, almost restless energy building over the past few days, like something big is about to break open, you're not imagining it. That pressure you're feeling? I've been feeling it too, and it's about to release in a massive way tomorrow. Something shifted today, and you probably felt it. So here's the thing most people don't realize. The energy of tomorrow's Capricorn moon didn't just suddenly appear, it's been building. But today, something major happened that's acting as the catalyst for everything that's about to unfold. Today, just a few hours ago actually, Mars entered Aries, and if you know anything about astrology, you know that's a really big deal. Mars is the planet of action, drive, aggression, and forward momentum. And Aries is Mars' home sign. When a planet enters its home sign, it operates at full power, no filters, no restrictions, just pure, concentrated energy. For the past 6 weeks, Mars has been moving through Pisces, and honestly, that was exhausting for a lot of us. Pisces is water. It's emotional. It's dreamy. It's about surrender and letting go. Mars in Pisces feels like trying to run through a swimming pool. You're putting in all this effort, but you're just not getting anywhere fast. Does that resonate? But the moment Mars crossed into Aries today, everything changed. It's like someone flipped a switch, that sluggish, foggy feeling, gone. Suddenly there's this surge of energy, this intense desire to take action, to move forward, to stop waiting. And if you've been feeling that shift today, that sudden burst of clarity or motivation, that's Mars in Aries doing its thing. And here's why this matters so much for tomorrow. This newly empowered, supercharged Mars is going to square the Capricorn moon. And when I say square, I mean it's creating tension, intense, unavoidable friction. Mars in Aries is all about impulsive action and raw momentum. The moon in Capricorn is all about structure, discipline, and long-term planning. These two energies are completely different. And when they clash tomorrow, something has to give. And what gives? I believe it's the old structures, the outdated patterns, the things that have been holding you back. The universe is using this Mars energy like a battering ram to smash through the barriers that have been keeping you stuck. And honestly, this was a huge realization for me when I started studying this transit. The universe has been auditing you. Here's what that means. Let me explain what's actually happening here. Tomorrow's last quarter moon is in Capricorn, and Capricorn is ruled by Saturn, the planet of karma, time, and consequences. When I say the universe is settling scores, I don't mean it's getting revenge or being petty. I mean it's balancing the ledger. It's looking at what you've put in versus what you've gotten back, and it's correcting the imbalance. So here's what I think has been happening. For months, maybe even years, you've been working, putting in the effort, showing up. Maybe you've been grinding at a job that doesn't appreciate you, or you've been the one holding everything together in your relationships, or you've been sacrificing your own needs to help everyone else, and it's felt thankless, right? Like, where's the reward? Where's the recognition? The reason you haven't seen the payoff yet is because Capricorn energy doesn't work on instant gratification. It works on cumulative effort. It's not about what you did yesterday. It's about what you've been consistently doing over time. And tomorrow, the universe is finally tallying up that score. If you've been operating with integrity, if you've been doing the work even when no one was watching, if you've been patient and disciplined and committed, tomorrow is your payday. And I'm not talking about some vague good vibes. I'm talking about real, tangible, structural rewards, job offers, promotions, financial breakthroughs, opportunities that completely shift your trajectory. But here's the flip side, and I think this is really important to understand. If you've been cutting corners, if you've been manipulating situations, if you've built your success on shaky foundations, tomorrow is when those foundations crumble. The universe is settling that score too. It's not punishment, it's just correction. It's reality catching up. And honestly, I think most of us fall somewhere in the middle. We've done some things right, some things wrong, and tomorrow is about getting clear on what stays and what goes. The moon wants you to release, but not everyone will. So let me explain what a last quarter moon actually does, because I think this is where a lot of people miss the deeper meaning. The last quarter moon is the phase right before the new moon. It's the ending of the cycle. And astrologically, it's all about release, closure, and letting go of what didn't work. The thing is, a last quarter moon is a square aspect. The moon is literally at a 90-degree angle to the sun, creating this intense friction and tension. It forces you to make a decision. It doesn't let you stay in limbo. You either release what's dead, or you drag it into the next cycle with you. And trust me, that's way harder. When this happens in Capricorn, the sign of structure and material reality, the release becomes very practical, very real. It's not about releasing emotional baggage in some abstract way. It's about actually ending the job, actually walking away from the relationship, actually stopping the habit. Does that make sense? And here's what I've been noticing. Not everyone is ready to let go. Some people are so attached to their old identity, their old story, their old struggles, that they'll fight to keep them, even when the universe is literally handing them an exit door. And if that's you, I really want you to hear this. Holding on tomorrow is going to hurt way more than letting go. The energy of this Capricorn moon is uncompromising. It's not going to baby you or let you ease into the transition. It's going to force the issue. And if you're still clinging to something that's clearly done, the universe is going to pry your fingers open. I've experienced this myself in past Saturn transits, and I can tell you it's way less painful when you release voluntarily. The relay race, why your payback is cumulative. Okay, so this part is really fascinating to me. Every degree of the zodiac has what's called a Sabian symbol. It's like a little story or image that reveals the deeper meaning of that specific degree. And the Capricorn moon tomorrow lands at a degree whose symbol is a relay race. When I first read that, I had this huge aha moment, because a relay race isn't about individual glory, it's about a team effort. It's about passing the baton. It's about building on what came before. And I think that's exactly what tomorrow's payback is about. The universe isn't rewarding you for one brilliant moment or one lucky break. It's rewarding you for sustained effort, for showing up consistently, for building on the foundation that was laid before you, whether that's by past versions of yourself, by your ancestors, by your mentors, whoever. The symbol of the relay race says you're not starting from scratch. You're picking up the baton that's been passed to you, and now it's your turn to run. And if you've been training, if you've been preparing, if you've been ready, tomorrow you're going to feel that baton land in your hand. You're going to step into a role or opportunity that's been building toward you this whole time. And here's what I really want you to understand. This isn't random luck. This is cumulative karma. Everything you've done up until this point has been preparing you for what's coming. And tomorrow, the universe is saying, you're ready. Here's your moment. But not everyone is going to experience this the same way. Some signs are positioned way better than others to catch this massive wave of karmic payback. And honestly, three signs in particular are about to win huge. If you're one of these three signs, tomorrow is your day. All right, so I'm going to break down the three signs that are most powerfully aligned with tomorrow's Capricorn moon. And if you're one of these signs, or if you have strong placements in these signs, I really believe you're about to experience a major breakthrough. First, Capricorn. If you're a Capricorn sun, moon, or rising, tomorrow is your day. Like, this is your moon. It's happening in your sign, probably in your first house of identity and self. And what that means is the universe is settling scores directly with you. I think Capricorns have been waiting for this moment longer than anyone. You've been climbing that mountain for years. You've been doing the work while everyone else was partying. You've been responsible, disciplined, patient. And honestly, you've probably felt overlooked, underappreciated, like you're working twice as hard for half the recognition. Tomorrow, that changes. The karmic payback for Capricorn is structural. It's not just a pat on the back. It's a promotion. It's a major financial breakthrough. It's your name being spoken in rooms you weren't even in. It's opportunities landing in your lap that completely shift your trajectory. And if you've been feeling like you're on the verge of something big, you're absolutely right. The universe is crowning you tomorrow. It's saying, you've proven yourself, you've earned this. Now step into the authority you've been preparing for. And I really hope you're ready, because this is your moment to claim it. Second, Aries. If you're an Aries sun, moon, or rising, you're experiencing something equally powerful, but in a totally different way. With Mars entering your sign today and the sun already blazing through Aries, you have this insane concentration of fire energy right now, and the Capricorn moon tomorrow lands in your 10th house, the house of career, public image, and legacy.
We're going to finish this tomorrow, and I pass the talking stick to you, Rainbird. Thank you so much for everything.
Okay, I'll take that talking stick. Thank you so much, Rama and Mother. So appreciate you. And we look forward to seeing everybody tomorrow on Radio Station 2 at 3:30 Central, 4:30 Eastern. And good night and be well.
Yes. Good night. May you have awesome dreams, and we will see you on the bridge. Sat Nam, Namaste. Blaze the violet fire. We love you so much. Namaste.